Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today is Friday. This is the day we do Mythbusters, and our co-host today is Chris Rossini. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you again, Dr. Paul.
Well, good. I know we're going to have an interesting program. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yes. Cultural Marxist, beware, because we're going to speak your language for the next 15 minutes, and you may not like what you hear. So we're going to start with the word discrimination. And Dr. Paul, YouTube has almost 1 billion hours of content that people can choose from. Yet our viewers are choosing to watch you. Could it be possible that maybe they're using discrimination?
Yes, I think it is. I think the word's been destroyed, like the left destroys so many good words. You know, to be discriminant is a very positive thing, and that's what we do all the day. We're always making choices. But if you don't make the choices of the far left, then you're in big trouble. You're not allowed to make voluntary decision. But I think this is characteristic of the far left is because, you know, some of the older libertarians like Mises and Hayek and all, they did not want to be called conservatives, and they didn't use the word libertarian very often, but they called themselves liberal. But today, even saying classical liberals is not good because it's very dangerous. People know what liberals are all about. But even the word progressive is a good word. I like to be progressive. Nobody wants to be regressive and backward going. But you can't use progressive either because that connotes something else. But now we talk about this whole thing about choice. I think they've destroyed that word. The choices just means you're being discriminant and making your own choices. And that's what freedom is all about, making choices. And even if you're not into politics, everybody does it. Every single day, every single minute, they make a decision of picking one thing over another, how they spend their time, who they spend their time with, who they go to bed with, what they eat, how much exercise they get. It's always discriminating against somebody else or something that you don't want to do. And yet now, especially this word pro-choice is so distorted because, of course, it was used by the far left to say that they wanted choices about, you know, how casually you could take a human life, might be a viable life at 5 pounds, and say, well, that's pro-choice, and not really dealing with the real subject of whether they're taking the life of a viable, legal human being. So they've been able to use that, but my argument is that the far left, that's the last thing you want is pro-choice. Because if they were after pro-choice, they'd be very strong endorsers of allowing you to run your life as you choose. But that's not the case. They have this cultural Marxism that's gone mad, telling everybody what they can do and not do. They're claiming that nobody can be offended. And they want to dictate to everybody about what they can or cannot do. And it isn't a choice at all. It's usually these individuals, the left hypocrites, are getting the control of the government and using force to make all the decisions for everybody else. Who would ever claim that a lefty is pro-choice on allowing you to keep what you earn? Who would ever argue the case that the far left believe you have a right to keep what you earn? No, they don't do that. Matter of fact, all the choices that the left talks about never involves property. And of course, if you're a true civil libertarian and you believe in choice, you have to believe in property, whether it's your religious beliefs, your friends, your property. They can invade your house all the time. They can't invade your church or your synagogue or your mosque because that property is your own and you should be able to handle that at any way you want. And you should be allowed to invite the individuals you want into your home. You should be able to pick your friends. And actually, the toughest part of all this is picking your customers. And people say, oh my goodness, that's horrible. You can't pick your own customers because that would be discrimination, and that would be very bad. And they have no faith and confidence in the people who might do that. Because in discrimination, true discrimination's the bigots of the world, and the racism and all, has generally been promoted by governments. When you think about slavery and Jim Crow laws segregated military. Usually that's done by government. And yet, picking and choosing, you say, well, you're not going to allow people to pick their own customers. Well, a lot of that is done already, picking your own customers. You can't go into a fancy restaurant in your underwear, and you can get thrown out for that. So they discriminate for all sorts of reasons. But what if they discriminate because they don't like the color of somebody's skin? Well, that would be the craziest, dumbest thing in the world, because it's a good way to destroy your business. And it would be boycotts, and it would be over with, and you wouldn't even need the police to be involved. The market is very, very tough on things like that. You wouldn't have to take 2 years to go to court. Just think of this fight over whether or not you have the right to deny somebody a particular cake and argue from the viewpoint of it being a religious liberty. I think it is a religious liberty to defend your rights, but not in that particular case. That's a property right. People should be able to do what they want. They should argue the case that if you're a baker and you want to bake a cake any way you want, let the market decide whether you're a bigot or not. But for the government to come in, and it's a shame that you have to say, well, I can't do this because of the First Amendment. Well, what about the Fifth Amendment? What about the right to life and property? There's enough other reasons. Just the principles of liberty would allow us to defend ourselves. So the hardest part about this discrimination is people think that, oh, if I am in favor of discrimination, therefore I am a bad person. But quite frankly, I think if you understand this, there will be a much better assimilation of people. We know this in different cultures, that when there's less government interference and less outsider interference, different religious groups and different races get along quite fine when the people get to make the decision. It's when the power goes to the government and you have these do-gooders, especially from the far left, are going to dictate to people what the rules and regulations are. That's where the real problem is. Libertarians can solve this problem if people would just look and choose to try to understand what liberty really means.
Yes. Next buzzword that we're going to talk about is equality. Now, each and every human being, we are different and unique. So by our very nature, both physically and mentally, we are not equal. Yet the left, they want to use government force to bring about their version of equality. Can you contrast that, Dr. Paul, with a libertarian society? Equality would still mean something, but something quite different.
That is right, and it sounds like a wonderful thing. Everybody should be equal. Like you point out in the question, there's no way we're all born with different abilities, and we're not equal. And when you set that a goal, it's an impossible goal, especially you know from the authoritarian viewpoints of the various forms, fascism, communism, interventionism, that you're going to have equal economics. I think it can be achieved. It can, but it's done by destroying the wealth of the country. You can have equality. It's an equality of poverty. It's been tried. The Soviet Union tried it. Many societies have tried it. It doesn't work. It destroys the incentives. Production goes down, and everybody suffers the consequences, and it leads to conflict. So this whole thing that you can have equality, but you do want equal justice before the law. This is the whole thing. You have to have equal justice, because if individuals are mistreated, and we don't have equal justice before the law today. When you think about the enforcement of the drug laws, there's no equal justice there. Poor people and minorities and inner city people, get a bad rap on this. They don't have equal justice because of the cost for it and too many laws, and it's used in abuse. So it is equal justice under the law, and you have to have the incentives there. But if the goal is equality, you destroy the incentives. So we all have to realize that life is made up of inequalities. The freer the society is, the greater the incentives will be for the individual to make the decision, what am I going to make of my life? Am I going to make it worthwhile? Am I going to get along with people? Am I going to do my very best to be responsible and have self-reliance? Am I going to do my very best to take care of my family? Or I'm going to say, no, I like this idea of equality with a government authority coming in and saying, well, so-and-so has more than I have, and therefore I want to send my politician over there to take more. And the only thing we have to be careful there is sometimes that inequality is not a fair inequality. And the system we have today happens to be made up a lot of that cronyism and corporatism where they've had advantages that are unfair. And it incites this anger. But if we don't sort this out, the attack will be on freedom and incentives and properties and free markets and sound money. If the attack is on that, and I think the far left uses this as an excuse because they don't believe in any of this thing. Just remember, one of the major platforms for the communists was, let's have a central bank and we'll take care of that. We need a monopoly control. But all governments now have, or at least they try to have, monopoly control of money and credit, and that's why we're facing such a huge crisis. Equality is unachievable, but equal justice should be sought after, and we can do a reasonably good job on this. But we have to realize that a better society is a free society, and you will have a much better chance of having a more equitable distribution of wealth. It's in the free societies that are able to produce a huge middle class. The less free it is, the more the middle class gets wiped out. And just look, if in socialism and communism, the middle class gets wiped out, and they all become the poverty class. In our society today, with this goal that dominates so much of Washington, of this equal distribution, guess what? The middle class is shrinking. So if equality is the goal, look out for trouble. Equal justice under the law will do a lot to help us bring people together.
Yes, the next word we hear a lot these days, and that's diversity. And to tackle that one, all we have to do, Dr. Paul, is go back to your presidential campaigns, because I remember so well, and you said it so often, that liberty brings people together. And anyone that took a look at your crowds, they were extremely diverse, from people from all walks of life came to see your speeches. So if you can talk about why liberty brings diversity versus this cultural Marxist forced diversity that they try to bring about.
Right, and giving those speeches and watching the crowd was very interesting to me, and I was always so pleased because almost all the crowds responded in a positive way, especially the college kids that seemed to understand this, because they weren't interested in the bigotry and the divisiveness that is promoted by the far left. And hopefully they will challenge all this cultural Marxism too that's involved in that. But the speeches were well received, because the point I would always make is that if you understand liberty, everybody should love it, even if you're a lefty. I mean, a lefty who's willing to give up a little authoritarianism and a little bit of ruthlessness. But if you are a far left, or if and you're interested in civil liberties and you're anti-war and you're interested in personal freedom to have a lifestyle completely different, something that a conservative or a conservative libertarian might say, I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of this drug culture. And yet, if you say what we are for is liberty and for you to make up your own mind, and you can use your liberty and your money as you see fit, because it really should be both. Sometimes you have people that like diversity in social areas and sexual matters and marriage and this sort of thing, but they don't want to give in to the economic. But if you understand this of bringing people together, the conservatives who like economic liberty should be with those liberals who are for personal liberty. They should come together and say, look, yes, that's a good idea. Let's give liberty to the people. Let them do what they want. But there is one rule that you have to follow, and the rule should be very strict, and it should not be tolerated if you break it. And that is, you cannot initiate force and violence against somebody else. You can't take people's property, and you can't hurt people. And you ought to fulfill your promises if you have a voluntary contract. And all of a sudden, the friction dissipates, because if you see somebody whose lifestyle you just don't like, well, if he's not going to hurt you, just take care of him. He might not like the church you go to or something like that. So all of a sudden, if the people with different religions, different social values, different economic values would come together, You have to reject the use of force. So if your main concern in life is helping the people who are poor and suffering, there's a lot that can be done in a free society. And wealthy people do a very good job that way. Sometimes they get so much wealth they have to retire early and spend their lifetime just giving their money away. So it's a wonderful idea to understand why liberty brings people together. It's exactly opposite of what the government does, because it divides us and they're always in different groups. I always despise this whole thing of, well, how did the black people vote? How did the Hispanic people vote? How did white people vote this time? Why do we have to see people in groups? And people don't have rights because they're in groups either. You have rights because you're an individual and they all should have equal rights. And that's a lot different statement than some people think. What equal rights mean is that you have equal access and you have equality and that sort of thing. But no, I think that I think this is a wonderful thing to look for diversity if you're interested in it. And if you don't like diversity and you don't want to have these associations, as long as you do it voluntarily, so what? As long as you don't hurt people. But tell you what, it brings people together. It's been proven throughout history, especially in the societies that have different religious groups. When governments stay out of it and foreigners stay out of it, it's amazing how well they learn to get along with each other. It's just these authoritarian approach that are insisting on them setting the rules about integration and bringing people together. And they accomplish exactly the opposite. There's less and less diversity. Just look at what's going on today. There's less diversity and more hostility among people because of the wars going on and the financing of mass migration, which it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But liberty brings people together. I am confident of that.
Next and finally, let's deal with a little bit of hypocrisy here, because we always hear about being tolerant out of one side of their mouth, and the other you'll hear check your privilege, which means that if you happen to be born white or heterosexual or wealthy, that your opinion, it's automatically discounted, and because you're talking from a privileged position. So if you could talk about that, Dr. Paul, and contrast that with actual privilege, when government interferes with our economic lives to bring about, whatever goals that they have.
Of course, I think this is an example of the opposite of what we were just talking about. The discrimination vanishes with liberty. Under this authoritarian approach, and that's what it is. It's all the white people's fault, and they have privilege, and they get ahead. That's crybaby stuff. You know, there have been some magnificent people, poor people, who were of different races and have been tremendously successful with one thing: their personal liberty, a little bit of ambition, a little sense of responsibility. They take care of themselves and their family, and it's magnificent. But this is crybaby stuff, and this is what the left wants. They want dependency because they want to rule over other people. And if they become dependent on the thugs in government who are redistributing wealth and in charge of passing out the food stamps, then they have to be obedient. And there are just some people who are authoritarians, and they think the average person, the masses of people, are incapable and won't take care of themselves. There are some that won't. But let me tell you, it's a lot worse when they get a hold of the power in government, because they really destroy things. But when it's white privilege is mentioned, I think it's a gimmick. It's to excite people and elicit hatred. It's an excuse to go about their ways of promoting the authoritarian approach to government, which has been so vicious and damaging to the world, not just in recent years, not even just in the 20th century, but throughout history. This is the whole thing. Always find somebody to blame, to give the excuse to the king or the pharaoh or the government or even an elected government that's dictated to by the majority vote, and just rig the elections and put pressure on them instead of talking about liberty. But when they talk about privilege, they're just using it as an excuse to promote their cause, which is contradictory to everything that liberty stands for. So the answer to that is forget about that. Quit crying and use your liberty. Know what liberty is all about, where it comes from. And believe me, the whole world would be much better off. So, Christopher, that'll do it for today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you again, Dr. Paul.
Well, great. And I want to thank our audience for being with us today. And I want to invite everybody back soon.